Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 21, verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 21, verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 21, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again for the privilege we have to enter into your house. And then, Lord, knowing that, again, where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. May we never take that for granted. But, Lord, count it a blessing and a privilege to meet with you tonight. And so, Lord, guide us to hear from you. Open up your word to us. Draw us closer to you. Empower our lives for your glory and our blessing, that we might truly be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "On This Wise Showed He Himself." On this wise showed he himself, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is what it is, and the restoration of our faith. God wants to restore our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith and encourage our faith. So as we consider this portion of Scripture tonight, we find that the Lord had been crucified, he had risen from the dead, and he had appeared already a couple times. And as we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, we'll notice that the 11 disciples, remember we lost one, right? So Judas is no longer amongst them, so now there are 11. But in this particular case, we find 7 disciples that are gathered together here, and we're going to look at that here. So look at verse 2 with me. It says, "There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples." So there's 7 there that are counted. And I find something quite interesting here. As we consider, the first thought is simply the Lord's plan and the disciples' plan. The Lord has a plan. He has his way, and we have kind of our ways as well. But we know that God's ways are the best ways. And so here we take notice of Thomas. Do you remember Thomas? In the previous chapter, he was the one. In fact, you're right there. Let's pick up in verse 19 of chapter 20. Notice what it says. It says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side." So remember, he revealed this. He's showing them. He wanted them to know who he was. Then drop down to verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." This event that was just spoken of. Verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So let's not be too hard on Thomas here, but let's be reminded the Lord was the one that showed him his hands, right? So possibly, let's just say this, in the description of what had happened as the disciples were telling Thomas, they probably told him, we saw him. Well, how do you know you saw? Well, we saw the nail prints in his hands, right? We saw who he was. And so he's probably coming from this place saying, well, I want to see it too, right? And that's a good place to be. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants to see it. We call him Doubting Thomas. I think he just needed his faith strengthened, wouldn't you say? And by the way, the Lord wants to strengthen our faith as well. He wants to help us understand more and more. So we know the story, the rest of the story. The Lord comes and reveals himself to Thomas himself and says, hey, if you need to put your hand in my side, if you need to see everything, he showed him, didn't he? And he said, oh, my Lord and my God. And he says, oh, believest thou, Thomas, because of what you've seen? He says, and I'm just paraphrasing, that those that are not going to see are going to be blessed as well. And by the way, that's us, isn't it? We believe, and we haven't seen those things, but we know them to be true, don't we? Now, this changed Thomas's life. I believe. Notice what happens here, verse 2 of chapter 21. "There were together Simon, Peter," and who's the next person? Thomas. He says, I'm not leaving you guys anymore. Amen. Well, I'm going to stick together with you, because I notice when we're all gathered together, God does things. Amen. And so it's important for God's people to be together, especially to fellowship around spiritual things and our relationship with the Lord. That's a good thing to do. And God moves amongst his people. Now, There's some ideas about what's happening here, and I don't believe this is on the Lord's Day. Of course, these other appearances were on the Lord's Day, but notice what happens here. Again, let's read verse 2. There were together Simon, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. That night they caught nothing. So I want you to think about something here. Some people have preached this, and I'm not saying it's wrong or anything of that nature. What were they doing? They were going back to their old trade. Well, God hasn't really quite commissioned them yet. The power of the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them yet. So they were just doing their business, but they were all doing it together. And the Lord never upbraids them or corrects them for being out there fishing. And he said, well, they should have been, you know, meeting together at church on the Lord's Day. Well, remember, they were fishing at night here, right? And so I'm not saying that you don't have church service at night. We're meeting here tonight. But this was, I think, during the week. It wasn't on the Lord's Day. And notice what happens here. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, what did they catch? Nothing. They didn't catch a thing. So the Lord is aware of this, and they're trying to fish. And one thing the Lord knows, and that is without him, we can't do anything. And not only is he the Lord of our life, but he's also the Lord of our ministry, whatever that ministry might be. He's also the one who guides us in his way to minister the word of God that he's given to each and every one of us to be the testimony to whatever degree. So everything is in the hand of the Lord. That alleviates you and I to carry a load that God never intended for you and I to carry. We are not judged. Listen, God wants us to draw near to him. He's not saying, okay, now you need to produce X amount of souls being saved every day. You need to be doing this, that, and the other. He does say to seek him and the kingdom of God and all these things, that whatever we need will be added unto us. And so this is the truth here that God is going to impart really to the disciples, that the Lord is the doer of every good thing in our lives. And you saw that today. So notice what happens here, verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So here's the Lord on the shore, and he's not hollering at them for them doing something wrong, but he's there observing all this. And then verse 5 says, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? He's concerned about their well-being, isn't he? He's concerned about their physical sustenance of life, and he's also going to show them an important truth. And they answered him, no. Now, they fished all the night. They didn't catch anything. And here's this individual. They don't know it's the Lord yet. There's somebody on the side. Do you have any meat? Did you catch anything? Is what he's saying, right? Not only that, but he's using an endearing term here. Children, have you any meat? So the Lord is really giving them some indication of who he is. He's giving some hints of who he is. The Lord also works in our lives. As we open up the Word of God, God wants you and I to know who he is and who he wants to be in your life and mine. So here he is, and they answer him no. And it's good to be up front with the Lord. And notice what happens here, verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. And notice what he says, and ye shall what? Now stop and think about this, okay? I've seen these fishing boats that they used back in the day. When you go to Israel, they have one that they had found, and it's all held together with rods and bolts and things of that nature. They weren't very wide. They weren't very wide boats, okay? And they were a good length. I can't remember exactly how long, but they were a good length. And you know, to me, stop and think about this. If the boat is not very wide, can there be that big of a difference between the right and the left hand?
not logically speaking, but when God says there's a difference, right? And so here it is, he says, cast on the right side, and you're going to find, and notice what happens. They cast, therefore, because he said that, and now, listen to this, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. Was this a heavy load? Did it not indicate that it was a heavy load? They were not able to draw. They, that means there's more than one, right? They were trying to draw it in, and they caught so many fish. The Bible says they were not able to draw it. Keep that thought in mind, and we'll get back to that later. Notice verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, right? With Jesus' love, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So here we find, again, here's the Lord had a plan, and that was he was going to reveal himself to his disciples. The disciples had a plan. They were going to catch fish, right? That was their plan. And they were not successful at it, but the Lord helped them to be successful at it. But the Lord has something more for them to learn and to understand about their relationship with the Lord. So now we find the Lord's revelation for the disciples' benefit here. And so they're not able to draw it in. And then again, verse 7, it says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now notice Simon. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he went to sleep. He took a break. No. What did he do? He girt his fisher's coat unto him, and for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. So let me ask you this question. Was Peter a little bit excited about seeing the Lord? He was excited, wasn't he? He was so, can you imagine that? Now listen, I'm sure they were probably somewhat wet already from fishing or what have you, and they worked the whole night, and no doubt, you know, when you get wet, you get a little bit cold, and you get a little bit hungry, and they fished all night, and so here that he sees it, and he's, you think he's thinking about the night that he had just spent catching nothing? Where's his focus? What is he thinking about? The Lord. There is the Lord, and he was excited to get to see the Lord and to go up to him. And so there he is going up to the Lord, and then we pick up in verse 8. It says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. They're dragging the net with fishes, right? So this is, I don't know exactly how you drag it in the water. I don't know if it's touching the bottom. Whatever the case might be, it was a heavy load. And this is important because, be reminded here, Peter was the one. Remember, we looked at John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But who was the one that jumped in the water after the Lord? It was Peter. Now stop and think about this. Peter, he denied the Lord, didn't he? He denied the Lord. Do you remember what he said? He said, I won't deny you. And I'm paraphrasing, right? I won't deny you, Lord. These might deny you. I'm not going to deny you. I'll never deny you, Lord. And that's because I believe he said that genuinely, don't you? He loved the Lord, and he didn't think he was going to do it. And then, of course, the Lord, he said, he even said, I'm willing to die with you, or for you. I'm willing to go to death with you. And that was really not the case. But would it be fair to say, even though he didn't do that and wasn't able to do it, in his mind, he would have done it. But he didn't have the strength. We ought to stop and just think about something. We can set our hearts and minds to do some things that we think we're going to do that we won't do. What does that tell us? We need the Lord, don't we? Especially when it comes to doing things for the Lord. In fact, when it comes to doing things for the Lord, we won't do any of those things to the glory of God without the Lord. We need the Lord to do those things. So keep that thought in mind, and we're going to get back to these things, the fish that were dragged there. And so notice what happens here in verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So fathom this thought. They're tired. They fished all night. They're wet. Peter was really wet. But they're wet. They're tired. They're hungry. And it seems like, I don't know what it is. When you're around the water doing anything, it seems like you get hungry, you know. And so they were hungry. The Lord knew that. Now, did the Lord know all of the disciples' weaknesses? Yes. Yes. Does he know all of our weaknesses? Yes. You know what's amazing? He loves us still. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And he knew exactly where they were at, but he also knew something else, that with him in their lives, he could bring them even further. You know what the Lord knows today? With him in our lives, he can bring us to where he wants us to be. And it's a process. It's a process, and we'll see that here in just a moment. So notice verse 10 here, and we're going to move into the last thought. And here's the Lord's care and compassion for his disciples. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. Notice verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of... Listen, they couldn't draw it. Before, you remember they were dragging it. Who was the first one to volunteer? Peter. Isn't that amazing? Peter, by the way, I don't know if you've ever swam in clothing before, but that takes a lot out of you. Your clothes, when they get wet, they get heavy. So he jumps in, and he runs over to the Lord, and then the disciples, they're bringing the fish in. And the first one, when the Lord says, bring of the fish which you have now caught, Peter's the first one to respond. Amen. Isn't that something? Listen, when God turns us around, We're empowered by the grace of the Lord, because it is the Lord that is turning us around. See, God is, listen, I believe that Peter now has a rekindled love for the Lord. I don't think he ever lost his love for the Lord. Peter was always around the disciples after the crucifixion and during the resurrection, because remember when Mary went to the tomb, she came back, the first person she was talking to was Peter. Remember Peter and John? Right, they ran to the tomb to go see. You remember that story? In fact, this is in a previous chapter. Peter and John ran to the tomb. Remember, Peter, I think, is the older one, and John, being a little more spry, he outran Peter. Remember that? He outran Peter. I would dare say that John probably encouraged Peter to run faster than he ever ran before. I'm not going to let him beat me, right? And then, but wait a minute. Then what happens when John gets to the tomb? He doesn't have the boldness to go in. Peter gets up there, and what happens? He walks in there. So listen, John probably encouraged Peter to make a hard run. See, disciples of the Lord are to encourage one another in their faith. And then when Peter went in, guess what John did? He went in. Isn't that amazing how God works in the life of believers to encourage one another? That's why he says it's important to love one another and to draw near to the Lord together in faith and in grace, that God is honored and glorified and the body of Christ is built up. So now let's go back over here, and here is Peter, and he draws the fishes up to the Lord. Verse 11 again, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. Listen, I would dare say that the Lord strengthened Peter. See, God gives us the strength that we need. Remember, all the disciples together, they were dragging it. Peter comes, he goes over, and I don't know what's going on there. But the Lord is involved. By the way, the Lord is the one that called him to anybody to do it, and he took the lead, didn't he? He said, I'll go ahead and do that. And the net wasn't broken. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So they took inventory, and the Lord says, okay, I wanted this in your mind. Now I want you to come and eat. I want you to come and enjoy yourself. By the way, they all knew it was the Lord, right? And they're excited about that, and they're fellowshipping with the Lord. So Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Isn't that good? So the Lord was in his resurrected body. There's an idea here that they knew who he was. And I don't know exactly, God is going to change our bodies, and they're going to be eternal, and yet you and I are going to know each other, aren't we? Do you believe that? We're going to know each other? Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? I want to remind you of Moses and Elijah, and the disciples knew that it was Moses and Elijah. They I don't know how they knew them, because they lived hundreds of years before they were around, and yet they knew who they were. And so we're going to know one another, and that's going to be something amazing to see, and I can't wait to see it, but that's going to be a good thing. And so here they are, And verse 13, and Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This now is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, I want to stop right there and give you something to think about. All right, just something to think about. There's a camp that says, well, we don't know. Was the Lord pointing to the fish? We don't know. Was the Lord pointing to the disciples? Now I believe it could be the disciples. Because here it is. Fathom this thought. Why would it be the disciples? Because remember what Peter said? Remember what Peter said? Peter said, though all forsake thee, I won't do it. And the Lord is saying, So Peter, do you love me more than these? The fish scene is over. They're eating. At the end of dinner, the Lord says to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? The disciples were the ones that were there. I don't know exactly where the net was. I don't know that it was close by them. I'm not saying it wasn't the fish. But I'm going to say dare say that it was the disciples. Because remember the Lord said, Peter said, I won't forsake you. I'm willing to die with you, and I won't let you go. I won't forsake you. So, again, as we consider this verse, look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, notice, listen to this how he says now, how he answers now. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, wait a minute. Do you love me more than these? Peter didn't say, I do love you, Lord, more than anybody else. He didn't say that. What happened? There's humility there now, isn't there? He is realizing his own weaknesses now. He knows, I mean, it's fresh in his mind. The Bible says that Peter wept bitterly. And so do you think it broke his heart, Peter's heart, that he denied the Lord? I do. I believe it did. And now the Lord is saying again to him, because he wants us to, when we live through life, God is wanting us to walk in his grace. And that's what the Lord is really doing in the life of Peter. Now, Peter, now that you understand some things, first of all, the frailty of our own individual abilities, the frailty. We can have the best of intentions to serve the Lord, and yet the truth is we don't know what we'll do. Listen, I would dare say that everybody in this room, in their heart and mind, would say, I don't ever want to deny the Lord, ever. I don't ever want to deny the Lord. Even if it comes to my life, I want to be faithful to the end. And the truth is, not a single one of us in this room have the strength to do that, but God will give it to us. God, I really believe that. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there are different accounts during the first, second, third centuries when they were burning believers at the stake. They were asking them to deny the faith, and they would not deny. They were burned at the stake, and they were singing unto the Lord. You and I cannot do that. They cannot do that in their strength. So what happened? God intervened and caused them to be able to do something, to have a witness and a testimony that they would have never had without the Lord himself. God wants you and I to have that power and that strength by the grace of God in our own lives, that we would not deny the Lord. Well, are we waiting for that one day that we're going to burn at the stake? No. But listen, there are many things that go out throughout our day that we don't want to deny the Lord in on. So, Lord, I need you every day in the little things. Let's not look for the fiery stake that we might be placed on one day. We don't know that that's ever going to happen. But here's the thing. We don't want to deny the Lord in anything that we do. Why? Because we love the Lord. So if the Lord were to say to you and I, do you love me more than any of these? Well, we better be careful, shouldn't we? Right? Well, I saw what Peter did. Let's learn from his lesson. But Lord, I can say I love you. How about that? Can we say we love the Lord? Amen? We love the Lord. And so here is the Lord talking to him, and he says, I love you, Lord. He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest, verse 15, that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. That's what he wants him to do. He wants him to preach the word of God. He wants them to minister the word of God to his lambs. And look how, what an endearing term. He's the great shepherd of how he sees his people. They are lambs in his sight that he takes care of. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. So that's important to the Lord, isn't it? That he ministered. Do you think Peter learned that lesson? Remember in Acts chapter 6, there was a skirmish there about the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows, and they appointed the deacons to take care of that because he said, I've got to give myself over to prayer and the word of God. Do you think he took to heart what the Lord said when he said, feed my sheep? He said, this is what's important, and Peter took it as being very important, and he was faithful to it. But notice this here, verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, listen, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. How did he come to that? You know everything. There was a revelation, wasn't there? And there was humility as well. Lord, you know. He knew that the Lord knew where he stood. I also believe that he knew that the Lord knew that Peter loved him even when he denied him. He just didn't understand. Peter didn't understand that he did not have the strength to stand without the Lord. Even though he wanted to stand, he did not know that the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen. Do you know the Lord has given to us in his word exactly how life works? And if we will adhere to what the Word of God is saying, we will be successful, maybe not in the eyes of the world, but we will be successful and faithful to our God, who matters more than anything else. And so here he is, and he's grieved, and he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. He says, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, let's get this picture. Let's put this together, and we'll wrap this up tonight. So Peter, he's zeroing in on Peter, is he not? Is it a bad thing or a good thing when the Lord zeroes in on us? It is a good thing. It is a good thing. Remember where he's coming. He's coming from failing the Lord, and God is wanting to strengthen his faith. And this is a process, and sometimes we don't realize how would you say, stubborn self is. How self-willed ourselves are, and how hard-headed we can be. I can be hard-headed. I don't mean to be. I really don't mean to be. I like to be reasonable. I do. I believe you like to be reasonable too. But the case is sometimes we're not reasonable sometimes. And here's a better thing. The Lord knows that about us. And he's even a better thing. He still loves us. Isn't that something? Now watch this. So is Peter kind of, in a good way, he's going through the mill, isn't he? I mean, the Lord is putting him through the mill. But God's intent is to build his faith. Peter is saying, I wish that would just go away. Man, I wish I could just forget about that. But really, it's a good thing not to forget about that, because we are, how would you say, frail or fragile when it comes to doing things for the Lord in the Spirit. We don't have the strength, but the Lord does. So he's bringing this before Peter, and this is important. Look at verse 18. Okay, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, right? You know, Lord. Now, notice what he says. Now, this is the reason why, one of the reasons why. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, so he's not so young now, right? When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So this is important, because he is going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. History tells us that he did that. And how much strength did he have? He said, I'm not worthy, as history tells us, to be crucified as my Savior was. Do me upside down. And so, did Peter do that all in his lonesome? No. No. Who was with him that enabled him to do that? The Lord and the Holy Spirit. And so here's God working with Peter, and he's trying to ingrain this in his thinking, because he wants him to be successful, and he wants him to be dependent upon who? The Lord, and not on himself. The Lord is wanting him to understand. He's reminding him how frail and how fragile our self, we don't, you know, willpower, right? willpower. How strong is our willpower? Well, for some things it's pretty strong, maybe, for some thing. But for some things, that's why January 1st, right? We all start our diets. We're going to do this year. And then, you know, if you really want to be successful, why don't we just say, let's gain 10 pounds this year? Amen? I think we could do that one. Anyway, we don't need a whole lot of willpower for that one, right? But here it is. The Lord is trying to ingrain in the heart and mind of Peter that he needs the Lord to be successful and to trust the Lord and to look to the Lord for what he wants him to do. Because we are so easily distracted and turned out of the way. And as you consider this, watch what happens here. So he tells him what kind of death he's going to die. And that's, I think, part of the process he was telling him. Listen, Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? If the Lord were to ask you tonight, do you love me? What would you say? And why would you say it? That's just between you and the Lord. Do you really love him? How do you know? How do you know? If you love me, the Lord said, you'll do what I've asked you to do if you love me. Didn't he say that? He said, if you love me, you'll seek me, right? If you love me, you'll do these things. All right, so verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him what? Follow me. Did you see that? Look at that verse again. Look at verse 19. This spake he, when he told him, he just told him what kind of, he was going to die, right? For the glory of God, he was going to die. And verse 19 says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He says, keep your eyes on me and follow me. How easy is it to be turned out of the way? Well, let's watch this. Look at verse 20. Then Peter turning about. Just like that. Then Peter turning about saith, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following. That's why I tell you, when they were running to the grave, old Peter, I'm not going to let him beat me. He beat him anyway. But anyway, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? When Judas betrayed the Lord. Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Isn't that amazing? See, we thought Peter had it, didn't we? And by the way, while the Lord was talking to him, I believe the heart was open to the Lord. What, don't you? I believe Peter meant everything and every word that he said to the Lord. But just like that, we can be distracted and turned out from what the Lord is asking us to do. Just like that, we can get our eyes off of the Lord. And so, he says, verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What is that to, you know what the Lord is saying? His business is not your business. That's what he was saying. His business is not your business. What was the Lord telling him Peter's business was? Follow me. Follow me. That was Peter's business. What's our business? Follow the Lord. Nothing else. What's our business? Follow the Lord. Amen. Be careful that we don't get distracted doing other things that we think we mean with good intentions and we're not following the Lord. See, we cannot say that we're faithful to the Lord if we're disobeying the Lord in any area at all. He says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you know if we're not following the Lord. And just like that, we could be found unfaithful. So it's important that we follow the Lord. So, by the way, Peter's not alone in this, okay? And that's kind of a good thing because that gives us hope as well. So here we find here that the Lord tells him, follow thou me. In fact, look at verse 22 again. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. The Lord said that. He threw that out. In other words, don't worry about John, you keep your eyes on me. He says, follow me. Now notice this, verse 23. Look what the other disciples do. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? They all jumped on the bandwagon. Hey, what was the message the Lord was telling Peter and all the disciples? Follow me. Keep your eyes on me. Hey, everybody, John's going to stick around until the Lord comes back. Just like that, they lost sight of what the... See, just like that, something can enter in and distract us and keep us from following the Lord. Lord, I need you not to be distracted. Lord, I want to be committed. Listen, do you think a prayer life is important between us and the Lord? It is important. And so we need the Lord, we need to call upon the Lord to enable us to drag that net ashore in prayer. Amen? And I will just tell you this. It is let me liken it to a muscle that has to be worked out. If you don't lose your muscle, you lose your muscle. Isn't that the way it goes? Yes. If you don't use it, you lose it. When it comes to, and likewise also with our prayer life, if we don't use it, it just becomes unimportant. We're too busy for it. We'll say a little 2-3 minute prayer and go on with life and say, I prayed today. Is that really what God was talking about? Or does he want us to say, Lord, you are worthy, and I want to be in front of you, and I want to mark out time. In other words, I want to schedule you in my day. That nothing, when we schedule something, we don't want anything to interfere with that appointment. And I want to make an appointment with you. And then not only in prayer, but the Word of God as well. I need time in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I don't think God wants us to neglect either one. See, some people say, well, I read my Bible. But what? Tell me about your prayer life. And that'll say a lot about our relationship with the Lord. See, we can have a lot of head knowledge. The Pharisees had a lot of that. But they didn't know the Lord, did they? And I'm not saying we don't know the Lord, but it's important to read the Word of God. But I think prayer is equally as important. Did the Lord get up early before it was light and he met with his Father? Yeah, is he our example? So these things are important. So a prayer life and time in the Word of God is important. I would say, this is just me thinking here, okay? I could be wrong in this. I would say it would be better to pray first and then read your Bible. Make sure you get the harder thing. And you know what happens when you get to praying and you get that habit of praying, it does become easier. And then you get caught up in prayer, and then you go, wow, that wasn't so bad. In fact, that was good. And then when you open up the Word of God, you're in tune with the Spirit of the Lord, because we need the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures to us, don't we? And so just like that, they were distracted. You know, if we don't block off time, tell me this hasn't happened to you. You try to make time for prayer in the middle of your day, and something's going to distract you. You tried to read the Word of God in the middle of the day, and something's going to come up. I think the devil makes sure of that. Amen? And I think God would have us to make sure it's a first part of our day where we know we're not going to be interrupted. Listen, if you're a late person, I think if you wait till late enough in the evening, you're not going to be disturbed either. I don't last too long in the late evening, especially if I'm reading or praying, right? But if I get up early before anybody else is up, or before anything else is moving around, I find I can get it done. I don't know if that was the Lord's reasoning. I think it was a love for his Father that drew him. He couldn't wait to meet with him. And by the way, God wants that relationship for our lives as well. So notice again here in verse 23, then went the saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You know what the Lord was saying right there? He was saying, leave him alone. He's saying, forget about him. Focus on what I said. And the disciples grabbed on the Lord saying, just set him off to the side here and listen to what I'm telling you to do. And all the disciples that were there, the other six disciples said, hey, he's going to stick around They missed it too. They missed what the Lord was trying to say. Last two verses here, verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and write these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things, this is amazing, which Jesus did, the which, if they should, listen to this, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And he says, amen. But here's the most important thing. God has seen fit to give us everything in his word that we need. And tonight, if we would say, Lord, yes, I want to follow you. Lord, yes, I want to call upon you and ask you to guide my life that I might be found faithful. So tonight, God wants to reveal himself in your life and mine. As we call upon him, as we prove him in our faith, as we walk with him, he wants to build us and he wants us to grow in his grace. So tonight, the Lord says, prove me. And I'll show you some great and mighty things. Amen? Amen? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? May we reflect and say, yes, Lord, do that in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that you so freely give to each and every one of us. How faithful you are, and we thank you for that. We look at the life of Peter, and we see everything that he went through. And even after he denied you, you still loved him. And you still drew him closer to you and set him on the right path. Lord, may you give us a heart to call upon you to do that for our lives as well, that we would be found faithful in your eyes, Lord. Bless and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.